is JP Mateta. You're listening to the Palace Podcast. Magnifique.
Hello everyone, I'm Will Robinson and welcome to the official Crystal Palace Podcast. It's been 2 weeks since the Eagles' last match and 2 weeks remain until our Premier League clash with Chelsea. But surely a month is far too long to go without some content from inside the Palace camp. Well, fear not, because today we can bring you an interview with the club's own Joel Ward. If Palace are celebrating a decade in the Premier League, then so is Wardy. A mainstay since the return to the top flight and surely having his legendary status secured, I caught up with the defender to discuss far-flung pre-season tours from Exeter to Hong Kong, 10 years at the most competitive league in the world, and why he has one eye on the ski slopes in the future. This is the 10th year of Palace in the Premier League, obviously. Yep. And you are the one man who's made it through the whole way. How does that feel?
It's crazy to think that. Obviously, it's been a journey and it's been a roller coaster. But there's, you know, so many great and fond memories over the period of time here. So, I think I'll probably dwell on that a little bit more in years to come.
I was just looking at your debut. I think it was against Exeter City, is that right? And it was 3,000 people. Yep. And we've just come back from a tour of Australia, 75,000, Man United at the MCG. I mean, that's a pretty remarkable way of showing what the club's done in the last 10 years while you've been here as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's what dreams are made of, right? You know, I don't think anyone thought that we were going to go on and do what we've done. You know, especially that year, maybe there was a plan to do so, but you know, to achieve it in the time that we achieved it in was something pretty special. And then to obviously, you know, remain in the Premier League for this amount of time is something that the club's never done as well. So, you know, it's been a record-breaking campaign in many different ways.
Do you remember what your first pre-season was at Palace?
My first pre-season at Palace, I think we went down to somewhere in like Exeter. I think it was like it was a hotel where they had like I'm pretty sure it was like a Formula One driver owned the hotel. But I think we got down there and it was crazy rain, like it was like waterlogged and what have you. But yeah, I think I can't remember the name of the place, but I'm pretty sure it was on the outskirts of Exeter somewhere.
Did you get any training though?
Yeah, we did in the end. And then I think we ended up coming back and trained at the training ground just because the weather was so bad.
What did you get up to when it was raining and you couldn't do anything?
There's not a huge amount you can do. You just got to kind of chill out and buy time and then be ready as and when you're called upon.
I think I'm right in saying you went to America in about 2014. Just comparing it to the trip you've just been on, what was the kind of recognition for Palace as a club? Palace being in Australia, there are so many fans out. In America, was it less so?
Yeah, I mean, every trip is different, and I think obviously as time goes on, the club and the stature of the club has grown. So it's been exciting to see that journey and that like trajectory of the club and the way in which the fan base is reached. So it's awesome.
I mean, as someone, I know you prefer like a Norwegian fjord to a Dubai hotel or something. What are these kind of trips like for you when you're getting ferried around in Australia, Singapore? Do you enjoy them, or is it all a bit too kind of hectic and busy?
Well, you don't get a huge amount of time to go and explore. I'm someone that doesn't want to necessarily be cooped up in a hotel room. So as much as I can, I try and get out and see things, or you know, find a nice coffee shop or something like that. I try and make the most of the time in which I get and downtime, you know, that we do get after training and stuff. I want to utilise it and make sure I, you know, go and see some things.
Did you find anything good in Singapore, Australia? Any recommendations?
No, I just kind of, I caught up with some old friends that came down that I know from out that way. So it was nice to see them. And then it was, you know, just kind of popping out for a coffee and going for a walk and whatnot. And sometimes just trying to stay awake because of the travel and jet lag and what have you. So we needed to make sure that we didn't stay in the hotel rooms and fall asleep.
How was it catching up with Andre Moritz out there? Must have been nice to see him.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I haven't seen Moritz for a long time, so it was great to see him and see some old faces and see how he's getting on and what he's doing now.
Yeah,
and
do,
you know,
he's,
do you mind, mate? I'm trying to have an interview here.
Sorry.
Just imagine if I'd done that. There's just what? What? It was great to see Andre, and obviously I hadn't seen him for a long time, so it was great to see what he's been up to, and obviously, you know, congratulate him as well on getting married and you know, and that next chapter of his life.
And hanging off the roof of a stadium as well.
Exactly right. You got to make the most of it and do a little bit of adventure. And you know, I'm not one to say no to kind of pushing the boundaries.
Would you describe yourself as a daredevil?
I wouldn't say daredevil, but I enjoy, you know, going out of your comfort zone or not necessarily just kind of playing it safe.
Going to be a good segue here. Is that what you have to do on the pitch as well to make it as a Premier League player? Is it not playing it safe? You've got to put yourself out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, I think there's always going to be moments and stages through life where, you know, you've got to dig deep and see what you're made of and see what your character's made of. And there's going to be times when things are great and there's going to be times when things, you know, your back's against the ropes. And I think it's in those times where you come out swinging or you kind of shy away from it. So you certainly have to be able to adapt and to be able to take yourself through things that, you know, probably the average person might not experience.
It seems like initially with Palace, when they first were promoted, it was kind of fighting to stay up. Then it became a kind of... more so that it became known for the atmosphere, known for shocking the big boys, and now it seems like it's really kind of Palace can go into any game and think they should win it. Does it feel like that way to you, that it kind of those three kind of stages as you come up?
Yeah, I think I certainly think there's been that transition, and I think, you know, I think if you get caught standing still for too long, then, you know, you're in a dangerous place. So I think to continue to evolve, move and adapt is vitally important in the Premier League, and you've got to move with it. So, you know, I think we've got a great mix, and we showed that last year of, you know, the style and the way in which we were playing. And I think obviously there was lessons learnt from last season, and we need to kick on and continue to, you know, strive and continue to raise the bar.
Personally for you, have you been working in any new positions? I know you played right centre back in a three last season on occasion. You filled in at left back as well. How's that been?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, you're adapting. Things are changing constantly, and you know, the style and the vision and the kind of philosophy and what have you is changing and is ever changing. So it's great to be able to understand more, to learn more, and continue to widen, you know, your experience within the game.
Hi, it's Patrick Vieira, and you are listening to Palace Podcast.
Just want a few quick memories from certain tour destinations. So, from Hong Kong, what's your memories of that tour with Palace?
From Hong Kong, going on the back streets and meeting a friend of mine I know who had just started a little restaurant.
Oh, nice. Good food?
Yeah, it was. It was called the Three Blind Mice because they were three international boys playing rugby, just started a restaurant, and they were kind of blind to it all.
Oh, very nice. And have they done well?
Still going? I think so.
Oh, there you go. Cincinnati, was that one that you enjoyed?
Yeah, Cincinnati. We popped along to the baseball in Cincinnati, which was nice. Managed to do that one evening. That was nice.
You a baseball fan?
I wouldn't say I'm that clued up on baseball, no.
Me neither, no. But
I'm always keen to go and experience something different.
South Africa, that is something different.
South Africa, that was a good trip. I enjoyed that trip. Would have liked to have seen more of the area, but obviously training and what have you wasn't able to. But playing sporting was a good experience, and the, you know, the stadiums were enjoyable.
Is there one place that you think you'd love to go when you finish playing that right now you can't go and see? Like you said, you can't go out and explore too much when you're on pre-season tour. Is there anywhere you think, right, I've got to come back here, or I've got to go there when I finish?
I think obviously there's always America that you can, you know, there's endless amounts to see. I enjoyed Vancouver when we were in Vancouver. I thought that was an incredible city. I'd like to do more of Australia, but that might be in latter years when the kids are a little bit older because of the flights and the travel.
Skiing? Yeah. Is that something that you can't really do as a player?
Yeah, well, we've never... Well, we have been to Austria, I guess, pre-season. But, yeah, I think skiing will be one of the first trips I'll do you know, in years to come. And I'm
ski or snowboard?
Ski, I think.
Why?
I think snowboarding is harder to pick up but easier to get good at, whereas I think skiing is easier to pick up but harder to get good at, so I like the challenge.
It's quite profound. And also snowboarders are a bit pleased with themselves.
They also take off the layer of snow, don't they?
Do they? Is that why? Sliding. They just make that scraping noise when they come behind.
It's kind of like there's a little rivalry there, isn't there? It's like surfing, bodyboarding, like, you know.
You're a surfer?
Surfer, yeah.
And you're good?
I wouldn't say I'm good.
Can you stand up on the board?
I can ride a wave, yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's what life's about, right? Just riding the waves.
And on that Ronan Keating moment, we'll end. Lovely to hear from Joel Ward on his stellar career at Palace so far. But there was just about time to ask him some quick-fire questions, from dream pets to boyhood clubs. I started by asking him to name his favourite tennis player.
Oh, Federer.
Because?
Just his elegance and just class of the way in which he plays.
What is one habit you picked up from your parents?
Prayer.
If you could have any animal as a pet, which one would it be?
A lion.
A lion, why? Yeah.
I just think they're pretty special.
Would you call it anything?
Alfonso.
Alfonso the lion, why?
First name that came
to mind. Stuck straight away.
Short and Big Al.
Big Al, there you go. What is the best piece of advice you ever received?
To live with no regrets.
That's quite a nice one. And finally, which team did you support as a child and why?
I kind of always followed Portsmouth because I was there as a schoolboy and we used to go to all the games. Second to that, I'd say, you know, I think I kept a distant eye on United because my old man at the time was a United fan.
Were there any players in particular that were kind of heroes at either Portsmouth or United?
I think, obviously, we were pretty fortunate to see the class of 92 come through and see them kind of take the club into a new direction at United. So that was obviously good to see. At Portsmouth, I was lucky enough to obviously, you know, from a very young age, see them kind of go on the journey of getting promoted and being in the Premier League and winning the FA Cup, which was, you know, pretty incredible, and obviously going into European nights and having AC Milan at the club. So there was a whole host of players that, you know, it was pretty great to see. But someone who always, you know, took me under his wing was Linvoi Primus.
Nice. Class 92, does that mean there was any needle towards Vieira when you were a kid?
No, not at all. A lot of my close friends were Arsenal fans, and I'm pretty sure there's some pictures of me at Highbury on a stadium tour in an Arsenal shirt in the dugout. So, you know, I think for me, even like now, there's no one that I'm like diehard to. I just enjoy the game, so I've got no real. I only said that United because my old man followed United, so he took us up there a couple of times and we had a stadium tour there. But yeah, I think it's just, for me, it's just about watching the game and enjoying the big occasions and seeing the sporting greats.
Joel Ward, profound to the last. Remember, this interview appeared in full in the matchday programme, so make sure you buy your edition online or grab a copy at every home game for more in-depth features with the squad, as well as much, much more. Well, that's all from today's episode. Thank you very much for tuning in. We'll see you next time.